All right, we welcome you to the Wayne County Bible Center on this August the 30th, 2020. And we are continuing our study on the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, his actions, his feelings, the things he said. And the title of today's message is Calling Upon the Name of the Lord. We're going to begin again in Luke 11, and then we'll move to Genesis. But we are in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And the scripture says this, and it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, and we looked at that last week, the Lord set the example of prayer. He had certain places he went to pray. He had certain times he went there just to pray. Before dawn, in the evening, sometimes all night long. But he set this example time and time again. And then the Lord says in this scripture, in verse 2, he said unto them, when you pray, the Lord says in another place we saw last week, when you enter the prayer closet. So it's not a question of if, it's when. When we daily get alone with the Lord for fellowship and communion. In verse 2, he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. He is calling, teaching us to call upon the name of the Lord. So let's go to him in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask you, Lord Jesus, for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin, that I confess unto you the filth of my carnality. And I pray, Lord Jesus, to be cleansed by your blood and to be anointed with your spirit this morning. I pray, Father, that I will walk in the spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh in my daily life. And I know as I get alone with you in prayer, you strengthen your Holy Spirit and my spirit together to find victory over those areas in my life. And I need it, Lord, and so I ask for it. Increase the will within me to overcome those areas of carnality, the desire to overcome. And Father, as I come to you today, I pray for each of us that your Holy Spirit will speak to us and that you will open us up to you. And in the quietness of this moment, we ask you, sweet Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from you today? Heavenly Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit will move upon us. Bless each one that's here, each one that's listening on this website. We thank you for all your goodness toward us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 11, verse 2. And Jesus said unto the disciples, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. When you commune with Jesus, when you reach out to God, when you seek to hear His voice, and when you seek to share your heart, your desires, your needs with the Lord, when you commune with God, what are we to do? What are we to say? What are we to feel? What are we to experience? The Lord wants us to understand not only that we need to pray, but how we are to pray and the concepts and the mindsets that we are to possess when we get alone seeking God in the prayer closet. So the best way to do that is to study prayer. So we're going to go all the way back to the beginning, to the origin, to what most commentators feel is the origin of what we know of as prayer recorded in the Bible. So go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And as I've taught you, I don't know how long we've been together, 25 years. Anytime you see something first used in the Word of God, that's huge. Anytime you see a phrase and it's first used in the Word of God, it is huge. And so that's what we're looking at today. And the phrase I'm going to introduce you to, this is the first time we see it used in the Word of God. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, the scripture says this, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos," or Enosh. "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, the entire structure of that sentence is huge. "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." And I'll just get ahead of myself here and throw this out if you're taking notes. In the generation of Enos, "then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." So you've got Cain and Abel. Abel is slain or murdered by Cain out of jealousy. Cain is banished and he's traveling throughout the countryside and is establishing his own lineage. And Adam and Eve have another son named Seth, who is going to continue what we know now to be the godly line that will bring Jesus Christ through the lineage of Mary into the world. His father was Joseph. His earthly father was Joseph. The father was the Holy Spirit, the miraculous conception of Mary. And so to Seth is now born Enos. And in the generation of Enos, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So, now, there's something interesting about this. So I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And I told you last week we're going to look at some of the lineages. So in Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, it says this: "Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters." In verse 5, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." Miss Patty's back there. All right, now, I want you to notice something. Look at what it says in verse 3. "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son named Seth." So when Adam's 130 years old, he has Seth. Don't lose this. Now, let's look at Seth. Seth at 105 in verse 6. Go to verse 6. "When Seth was 105, he begat Enos." So you've got at 130, Adam has Seth. And at 105, Seth has Enos. So when you go back and you read Genesis 4:26, which is our focal verse, "And to Seth, to whom also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Men did not begin to call upon the name of the Lord until 235 years after creation. You say, Brother Leo, how do you get that? Well, that's pretty simple math there. You've got Adam having Seth at 1:30. You've got Seth having Enos at 1:05. 1:30 plus 1:05 equals 235 years. So 235 years from creation, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So what in the world has been going on for 2 centuries and 35 years? Well, we have a few problems here. So what I want to share with you, first of all, is before this is the third description in Genesis of how men approach God. And you say, well, really, what do you mean by that? What's the first description of how men approach God? Well, it's what I call the cool of the evening experience. And when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, before they sinned, it seems as though the second person of the Godhead, who we know as the Word, Jesus, would take on human form, come down to the garden, and they would walk together in the cool of the evening. And as they walked in the cool of the evening, they would commune one with another face to face. So, that's, and then when Adam and Eve sinned, we find the Lord coming, and He calls out their name, and they are hiding from Him. Now, let me show you the second form of communication. Go with me to Genesis chapter 4. In verse 3, speaking of Cain and Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in verse 3 it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel brought his offering unto the Lord, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, the Lord did not have respect." So that's the second approach to God, and I call that the altar or the sacrifice approach. You call that the altar approach or the sacrifice approach. So, you have the cool of the evening approach. Well, that's over. Because man has sinned. He's been expelled from the garden. And two flaming cherubim are placed at the gate of the garden so man can't enter back in. And so it appears that Cain and Abel would bring their offerings unto that entrance and where the cherubim were. And they would present sacrifice unto the Lord. And so you had that way of approaching God. And now we see 235 years after creation, we see in verse 26 of Genesis 4, "And men began to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, Brother Leah, when did Cain kill Abel? I tell you what, let's back up from that. When did Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel? How old were they?
We don't know.
When did Cain kill Abel, Kent? We don't know. All we know is, in the genealogy, is that when Adam was 130 years old, he had Seth, who appears to be his third son. So did he have Cain and Abel at 30? And then things went so bad? Did Adam and Eve from that point wait another 100 years before they even considered having any more children? You moms and dads can understand that. That's why lions eat their young. Hey, we understand that. When we tell y'all to be in at 10, we mean 10 o'clock, Kelly. 10. So they waited 100 years before they had another child. I don't know. I have no idea. People that study the syntax of Hebrew, and I'm not one of them, all right? I'm just depending on them. They point this out in Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. It says this. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. There are those that say you could have stopped the verse there. And you could begin verse 5 with, Adam begat sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Like the thought process was, Adam begat all these sons and daughters, but the only ones that were recorded were the ones that would play into the lineage that brought Jesus Christ into the earth. Notice, Abel was a good guy, but he's not listed as a son of Adam. Cain was a bad guy, but that shouldn't put him out from being listed as a son of Adam. So when we get the genealogy of Adam, the only name we get is Seth. And he had other sons and daughters. So for 200 years, he could have been having other sons and daughters. However, the first son that God saw fit to include in the godly line that would bring in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus Christ himself began with Seth. And so the godly line, and every commentator agrees with this, begins with Seth. So folks say, you know, where did Cain find his wife? Well, in those 200 years, Adam and Eve quite possibly could have had other sons and daughters when you read the sentence structure of the Hebrew. Now, that's a theory. Nobody can prove this theory I just shared with you wrong, and nobody can prove it right. So we're just going to lay it out there, and that doesn't have anything to do with today's message. But what I want you to understand, it took 235 years for men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, why did they, and what does this phrase mean? So, go with me to Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, and we're looking at the phrase that describes the origin of prayer as it's recorded in the Bible. Verse 26, the scripture says this, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son. He called his name Enos, or Enosh. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. All right, the phrase call upon in the Hebrew is quara, Q-A-R-A. Quara, Q-A-R-A. And it means this, it means to call out in need. To call out in need. It means to implore, to summon, to invoke, to call out in need, to implore, to summon, to invoke into a situation. And the caveat in the Hebrew is this. Anytime Q-A-R-A is used, it is always addressed to a specific recipient. Always addressed. So they call out to God. Several months ago, Jonathan, we needed to get our boat trailer. I needed to get our boat trailer to Nashville. No, I need to get from Nashville back to Waynesboro. That's what I needed to do. Get it to my house. There is no way I can pull a 26-foot boat trailer. It's about, I don't know how wide, through the streets of Nashville, back here with confidence. So you know what I did? I called John. And five freezies later, we made it to Nashville. Jonathan can't pass a raceway without, what do they call those things?
Wild cherry freeze.
Wild cherry freeze. All right, we can't pass a speedway without getting a wild cherry freeze. So five wild cherry freezes later and two rest areas, we made it. And we got the boat back. But what I did, I called Jonathan because I knew he could do it because he hauls stuff around all the time. I called him for a specific purpose and a specific need, having confidence that he could do it, and he did it for me. So Jonathan would have been the specific recipient of me invoking him into the situation. So I want you to understand, when you call upon, that Hebrew word means to call out to in need. You're calling a specific person. And this phrase means to invoke God, to invoke God's power, to invoke God's presence into a specific situation. You are summoning God to come down and act and make His presence known. You are summoning God to come down and act and make His presence known. Now, you say, Brother Leo, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. My friend, I want you to understand something. Most people that throw up these prayers or these Hail Marys, they don't halfway think about what they're saying. Their heart's not in it. Their focus is not in it. And my friend, they're not even expecting God to help them for whatever reason. And I want you to understand, when these men called upon the name of the Lord, there was a reason, and they were calling upon the name of the Lord with all their heart, all their mind, and all their soul. Now, why did they start praying then? Well, the clue is in the name. Verse 26. To Seth, to him there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In the Hebrew, Enos means this. It means mortal, sick, weakened, and frail. Mortal, sick, weakened, and frail. So I'm totally reading between the lines here, Cleo. I believe when Enos was born, he was sick as he could be. And I believe that there was a chance he was going to die. And I believe Seth, who was going to be the head of the godly line, he was the first one that went out and called upon his neighbors, because you're going to see there's another caveat to the definition here. It's a public calling or gathering for calling upon the name of the Lord. And I'll show you what makes that clear with the life of Abraham in a moment. So I believe he called folks together, and they came together in a gathering, and they prayed for the health and the healing of this little baby. And you say, well, Brother Leo, did it work? Well, go to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 9, and it says this, and Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and then he died. So I'd say God answered their prayers. He might have been sick as a baby, but goodness, Methuselah only lived, what, 969 years? He almost lived as long as Methuselah. So what does it mean to call out upon the name of the Lord? A specific name, a specific need. And so that's what this phrase means. You're calling out onto a son. I'm calling Jonathan to move a trailer. I'm calling on the Lord to heal my son. Same philosophy or situation or definition. So when Jesus is teaching them how to pray, the first thing he teaches them is who to call on. Our Father who art in heaven. And this goes back in Jesus' time, 4,000 years, to the book of Genesis. So go with me to Genesis chapter, let's see, 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, and the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you and give you a land. And in verse 7, the scripture says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, I'm going to give you this land. And there Abram builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Second use of that phrase. So he builds an altar, he and the contingent that are traveling with him. He's thanking God, he's praising God, he's calling upon God to fulfill their needs and to take care of them, and he calls upon the name of the Lord. Now, Cleo, I want folks to understand this. We've had the cool of the evening walk. Then we had the altar experience of approaching God. Now we've got the altar experience of people assembling in the name of the Lord, gathering together, and they're praying unto God. You might say, well, why didn't they pray unto God after they built altars during the time of Genesis? There are some commentators that believe after the murder of Abel by Cain, that there was such, the judgment of God came upon Cain in such a severe nature, and we don't exactly know what it was. But the entire populace of the world, which at that time was limited to a group or a family, grew in such fear of God and judgment that they were scared to approach God. And that if they continued any kind of altar observances, they would make an altar observance. You'd go up, make your altar observance sheepishly and in fear, and then you would back away. Because I want you to understand, in mythology and in pagan worship, the one characteristic that pervades all of mythology and pagan worship, and any pluralistic religion that worships many gods or numerous gods, the one pervading characteristic is fear. They're always appeasing God. They're always fearful of their gods or their false god. That's why Baal demanded the children be burned up so that they would appease Baal and so horrible things wouldn't happen unto them. So what I want you to understand, during these 200 years, if it was 200 years, it took them that long to get over the fear of God based on the judgment that came upon Cain, which is another thing, we don't know what it was. But for some reason, at some point, Seth had the boldness and the desire to call upon the name of God at the birth of Enos, or Enosh. And so men began, and Abraham continues this out. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 1, it says, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver. He went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there again, Abram called on the name of the Lord. And so we see this being incorporated into worship and into the gathering. Go all the way to Genesis 26 and we'll look at Isaac. And Isaac's traveling and he can't find anywhere to settle down. And in Genesis chapter 26, verse 23, Isaac went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bless you. I will multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And so Isaac, he builds an altar there, and he calls upon the name of the Lord. He pitches his tent there. They dig a well there, and they settle down there. So God speaks to him. He speaks to God. So we're seeing prayer as it's being developed some 6,000 years ago from the present time. So let's look. The phrase define, calling upon the name of the Lord, it defines the spirit and the meaning of prayer. So go with me to Psalm 116. And you're going to see this phrase throughout the Word of God. I'm going to give you a few examples today, but I hope that it'll stand out to you. Folks say we don't pray like our grandparents prayed, or we don't pray like the old time preachers used to pray, etc., etc. My friend, we need to pray like they prayed in the Old Testament. We need to pray like they prayed at Pentecost. We need to pour out our heart unto the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1, the psalmist says this: I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. My friend, I want you to understand something. If you don't think God's going to hear you, if you don't think God's going to incline his ear unto you, you've already lost the battle in prayer. You know, I don't care how bad a day I'm having, I have the confidence and assurance that if I get alone and I call out to Jesus, he's merciful and he's going to hear me. You know, people say all the time, Brother Leo, you don't know how I lived or how I live or what I do, etc., etc. My friend, that is a lie from the devil. God's mercy is everlasting. I want to say it again. God's mercy is everlasting. I mean, I was sitting there with Patty yesterday, and we're watching the news, and oh my goodness, all this stuff's going on. And in Nashville, they're honoring a person who, I'm not even going to get into it. But the bottom line is, I told Patty, I said, I cannot believe the Lord has not wiped this earth out yet. And I feel that way. I don't have that kind of patience. I don't have that kind of mercy. But I want to say something to you. The Lord reminds me that this person that they were honoring, their sin is no worse than mine. Because sin is sin. And if he's going to have patience with me, he's going to have patience with everybody else. And I got to remember that. But I don't a lot of times. And when you're hearing me up here confessing a lot of times and praying, it's because of that judgmental spirit where I want to wipe these people out. And that's not a good way to be. And praise God, that's not the way he is. And look what he says. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon his name. Verse 3. The sorrows of death compassed me about. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. So, what is the spirit and the meaning of prayer? It's calling out to God, crying out to God, grabbing hold of God for a specific need and situation. He said, I was near death. I called out to God. The powers of hell grabbed hold of me. I called out to God. So prayer specific, whatever needs you have, you want to call out to him. You want to grab hold of him. Verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. But notice verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Most commentators believe the phrase, call upon the name of the Lord, referred to a public gathering where people who believed in God would come together and pray. And pretty much every time you read this phrase, they're either building an altar in the Old Testament, or they're talking about gathering in the temple or within the congregation. Look at what he says in verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we'll call upon the name of the Lord. So I'm thanking God. That's an aspect to calling upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. So, in the Old Testament, the first assemblies of God's people was dominated by calling upon the name of the Lord. And what does Jesus say? My house shall be called a house of prayer. And prayer is the most neglected thing in our country, in our nation, and in our religions today. We don't come together to pray. And I want to say again, I believe the President of the United States needs to call for a national day of prayer right now. And I believe what we need are four or five specific needs laid out. We want to pray for wisdom in the virus and healing unto God. We want to pray for wisdom concerning these things that are going on. We want to pray for law and order. We want to pray for biblical morals. And I believe these things need to be laid out and a day and a time set aside, a 7 p.m. on a Tuesday night, in all four time zones, where God's people come together to pray for four or five specific things in America. And I would love to see the president call for that. I would love to see those in Congress call for that. I would love to see Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Ocasio-Cortez. I'd love to see those people, Rand Paul, Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott, all these people come together and call for prayer. It's not unprecedented. It has gone on since George Washington's time. Why are we not doing it as a nation? And nobody will hear this that will speak to any of these people. But you never know. So you put it out there. But that's what we need. That's what America needs. Amen. And that's what God's people knew they needed. And I believe it started, and this is my theory. You're not going to find this in a commentary. I believe it started with a dad who believed in God, who had a sick little boy, and he called his friends and family together to call out to the name of God. The little fellow grew up and lived to be over 900 years old, and we've been praying ever since. And there is power, power in that concept, and I believe in that theory, and I believe in that way of thinking. So when I pray for my son, or when I pray for Kelly, or when I pray for Miss Cole, or when I pray for Cleo's sisters, I'm carrying on something that has gone on since 235 years after the creation of this universe, and you and I get to take part in that. And so that's what's going on. Go with me to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. So there needs to be a power of focus and effectualness in our prayers. It doesn't have to be vain repetitions. You don't have to say a lot of words. Just mean what you say. Just hope in what you say. Just ask. You know what your needs are. God knows what they are before you ask, but He wants you to ask. Because I want you to understand, and I left this part out. When they were praying for Enos, when men began to call on the name of the Lord, if you got a sick baby, you're calling on Him in need and in dependence. All right? Dependence. N-I-N, another word, dependence. I'm depending on the Lord. So when you're calling on the name of the Lord, you're calling in need and in dependence. So what is that? That's faith. The first prayer was a prayer of faith. You're calling a specific person, Jonathan, who you know can do the job, Jonathan. I'm calling on God, who I know can do the job. So it's the same thing. You are asking God to invoke Himself into a situation. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So, you know, we're talking about us calling on the name of the Lord. Well, you know what that says? God wants you to call upon Him when you're in trouble, when you have a need. You know, I hear folks all the time say, I'm not going to bother God with this. I was going down the road Thursday toward Nashville. And one of our older cats, Callie, she's got an inner ear thing that Kathy's tried to help us with, and she's lost her balance, but she's doing some better, praise God. But she started wandering off. And as we're going down the road, we left Callie on the back porch, and I said, Lord, I know I ask You for all kind of things. And I'm praying for Miss Cole. You know, I'd been praying for Miss Cole that morning, Tony and Sandra. I mean, major things. God's wisdom for Mona. You know, important things. And so we're pulling onto the trace, and I'm saying, Lord, I know I pray to you for a lot of things. And I said, I know I ask you for all kinds. I said, but Lord, you said for us to ask for all things. In everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto me. And so I said, Lord, I'm just asking you keep Callie on that back porch till we get home tonight. And praise God, we got home. Callie was on the back porch. She's on the back porch this morning. Get ready to go to church. Callie ain't on the back porch. Said the old devil, he's trying to shake me up. So I go to where the swing is on the front porch, get behind it, the little shed there across the road. Callie, here she comes out. That's where she goes, from under that shed. And she's running down the driveway, but she's got to cross the road, you know. And but she came back. But you know, we pray about all things. There is nothing too small to go to the Lord about. And you know the wonderful thing about that is you're talking to the Lord, you're not sinning. The more you talk to God, you're not sinning. So I might be praying for a cat, but praise God, I'm not upset with something else that's going on. And you know, God can honor that. So the more you're communing with God about major things, minor things, everything, you know what you're showing Him? You're saying, Lord, I'm depending on You. I'm counting on You. I know You're good, and I know that You want to do good things for me. And look at what He says. Call upon Me in the day of trouble. Verse 15, I will do something good. I will deliver you, and in Leo, I want you to glorify Me. So they're calling upon the name of the Lord. Go with me to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Psalm 55 verse 16 says this. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You're facing something, my friend? You say, look, I'm going to go have my prayer time over this thing. Say it to yourself, Brenda. Sometimes you just have to say, hey, this is happening, that's happening. I'm going to go have my prayer time. I got to get along with God. I'm going to call upon God because He's got the answer. He knows what to do. And I'll say that. I'll say, Patty, I got to find out what God wants me to do in this thing. Yeah, you know, I was sharing with someone this week and they were asking me about the music. I said, well, I'm seeking God's direction, and I'm going to have to share another announcement this week because I'll have folks that come out and they'll say, Brother Leo, I think this is the right thing, that we need to err on the side of caution. And then the next person that comes out, they'll say, why are we not having music? We need to have music. And so I told Patty the other day, I said, you know, I've got a harder job than President Trump. And Patty goes, what do you mean you got a harder job than President Trump? I said, I cannot fire church members. Trump can fire them. You know, I can't fire any of you people. I have to listen to the first one go out, and then the second one, and then the third one, and then the fourth one. Let me pray with you. Father, as we hear this emergency vehicle, I just pray right now, Lord, that You'll watch over this situation, protect those that are responding and the situation they're going to. Lord, we pray for healing and protection and for the emergency that was on the way when we were coming to church today. I pray for healing and protection there, Lord. We thank You and we praise You. Psalm 55, verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You know what that is? That's expectation. He is expecting God to do something. And when you call upon Him, expect Him to do something. He may tell you to go this way, or He may tell you to be still, or He may tell you help is on the way. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray. I will cry aloud, that's that phrase, to call upon the Lord, to cry out to Him. And look at this, He will hear my voice. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. There, in no shape or way am I a perfect person. I have tremendous sin, tremendous faults in my life, but I want to praise God, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. He's going to listen to my voice. My friend, I don't care what your child does to you today, if they call you, you're going to listen to them. I don't care what your grandchild does today, if they call upon you, you're going to listen to them. If you're going to do that, Jesus says in Matthew 6, you who are carnal and human, think how much more your Heavenly Father will listen to you when you call out to Him. You say, Brother Leo, I've had a terrible day, and the devil tells you to run from God. When you have a terrible day spiritually, you need to sit down and cry out to Him. Say, Lord, I've had a terrible day spiritually, but I'm not going to listen to the devil. I'm going to call out to you. And I'm going to get this thing turned around right now. I'm not going to let it continue any longer. And He will hear my voice. Verse 18, He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle. Verse 19, God has heard me. So you pray for that, the spirit, the mindset, the attitude. Let me share one more, Psalm 86, and then I'll move to where I'm closing out. It's all throughout the Word of God. Psalm 86, verse 7 is the highlight here. Look at what it says. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. My friend, that's the mindset. Freddie, that's the mindset we got to have. Our first resort is God. He's not our last resort. He's our first resort. When I get in trouble, I'm going to call upon God. When trouble's coming, I want to pray about this thing first. And that's why I fear for our nation. We've been going through all this for the last 6 or 7 months. George Washington, Adams, Lincoln, Eisenhower, all those guys would have already called upon God. The congressional leaders, Hancock, all these people, they would have called upon God. This country was founded on spiritual leadership, servant hearts, a depth of a relationship with Jesus Christ and biblical morals. And we've got to understand that's the only thing that'll get this country back to where it needs to be. Verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, because I am in need. Preserve my soul. I trust in you. Verse 2. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. I cry unto you daily. I'm not asking God to do something for me because I deserve it. I'm asking God to do something for me because He's merciful and He wants to do something for me. Now, I want to live as righteously as I can. I am motivated to that because of what Jesus has done in saving my soul and all He's blessed me with in this life. Verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. There's that phrase again. You call upon the name of the Lord to forgive you. Well, why do you do that, Brother Leo? Because the Lord's the only one who can forgive you. And that got Him in trouble in the New Testament when He's forgiven sins. If you call upon the Lord to forgive you, He's faithful and just to forgive you all sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But you need to call upon the Lord. The devil wants us to feel so bad about ourselves that we quit talking to God. I want you to understand that. If you're waiting to get righteous enough to talk to God, you're waiting to get righteous enough to get saved. So you're never going to get saved and you're never going to talk to God. You just talk to God just as you are. He's ready. He's willing to listen. And you get saved just as you are when you place your faith and your commitment in the Lord. Let me show you what I believe are the two of the most, and I'm skipping some stuff, but I want to show you two of the most famous call upon the Lord ones. One in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Go with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now he's talking about the nation of Israel. In 70 years they're going to get out of the Babylonian captivity. I'm taking liberty with this in saying the Lord knows the plans he has for our lives, like he knew the plans he had for the nation of Israel. Verse 12, then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. I will give you freedom. I will give you victory. I want you to understand, my friend, the calling upon the name of the Lord is the first step in prayer, and it takes us into a seeking spirit, an open spirit. Lord, I'm calling upon your name right now to hear my voice. Father, this is what I'm going through. This is what I need. Lord, guide me, counsel me, lead me. Take me in the direction that I need to go into right now, Heavenly Father. And He'll deepen you into a seeking spirit as you call upon the name of the Lord. And then you go to Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says this, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe and commit to Him in your heart, commit your life to the Lord, that word is pistos. It's not just believing about, it's believing in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, a heart commitment, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Call upon him in need. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord to be saved shall be saved. So Cleo, we go all the way back to Genesis 4:26. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And here in the New Testament, 4,000 years later, Paul tells men to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And my friend, you just put your name there. And you say, I am going to call upon the name of the Lord. And you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to add this to it. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly, openly, passionately unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's just being in your prayer closet, calling on the name of the Lord. I believe 6,000 years ago, Seth prayed for the health of his baby. I could be wrong. That's my theory. Hadn't found it anywhere else. But I'll tell you this. At some point during the generation of Enos, either at his birth or sometime during his life, men began to gather. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. And they had specific needs in mind when they did it. And they called upon God to invoke His power and His presence from heaven into certain situations here on earth. And my friend, that's all we're doing when we're praying. We're believing God's willing to do it, and we believe He's going to do it when we call upon the name of the Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this privilege to gather in Your name, Lord Jesus. We have prayed for Miss Cole. We've prayed for Tony and Sandra. We have prayed for Mona. We have prayed, Lord, for Cleo's friend who is battling COVID right now. We have prayed, Lord, to comfort families that have lost loved ones. Father, we have offered up thanksgiving in Your name. And Lord, we have praised You because of who You are. Father, I pray right now for those that are in this room and those that are listening on this website. May we have boldness and confidence to call upon You when we pray for our children and our grandchildren. May not any need be too small that we're not going to take it to our loving Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are always there for us. Father, we will call upon You in the time of need. You will deliver us and take care of us and our families. And we will glorify You.